Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. In this video, I just want to show you quickly that there are blacks, right up to the present time, who are talking about the need to kill all the whites of South Africa. That all the whites of South Africa have to be killed, and that even all our property, etc., has to be stolen. So take, for example, this image on the screen in front of you. Here are just a couple of examples from the past, but I'm going to show you even more recent examples. So the guy on the left did this Facebook post in 2010, and his name is Mfundo. And on the 25th of May 2010 on Facebook, he said, "We have no choice but to kill the white babies, simply because they are going to grow and oppress our babies. So we kill the white babies. When the right time comes, we'll chop their heads off and they become..." Anyway, that's as much as I've got. So there's a guy in a Facebook post. No outrage in the mass media, no outrage among Jews, nothing like that. Fat slob of a black, coming out and saying this in 2010. The image on the top right is the massacre of an entire family, and you can see the white woman in South Africa and her baby. This is an old image that I have of this, so it's very unclear, but I'll try to read it as best I can. So it says, "Massacre of entire family. I killed them because they were white." And it says, "One-year-old Katya was executed on her first birthday with a shot in the head." So that's that little baby that you see there. "The entire family of Clifford Rawston or Rawstorm was wiped out. Janine, her infant daughter, and her mother-in-law, Hester Rawston." I'm not sure the exact year, it might be 1994. So this black shot that little baby in the head and killed the whole family. And it seems he killed women. And it says, "Satan incarnate, William Kekana, pathological liar, killer, rapist, coward, and kidnapper. He was only 20 years old. Sentenced to 6 life sentences plus 60 years for the rape and murder spree on July 31st, I think it is the year 2000. I think it's July 31st, 2000. William Kekana. And of course, I'm sure that he got out of jail ages ago. These murderers are not kept in jail for long. They are out within 10 years. Easy. The guy on the bottom right is interesting. He was a guy in the military. That's in the army. Dlamini. I'm not sure whether he even was a general, maybe. If he wasn't a general, he definitely was in the South African army. His name is Dlamini, and he said, "Whites, kill them all." He said, "Kill all white men, white women, white babies, white blind and cripple, crackers, white. Kill them all. Masibo Freedom Dlamini." So here are blacks, even a guy in the military, and they're talking openly, you know, just kill all the whites, kill their babies, kill everybody, kill the men, kill the women, kill everyone. And the people and the instances I'm going to show you in this video are by no means whatsoever, even the full number of people. I'm just grabbing a bunch of stuff, some of it recent, and a couple of these old ones, just to show you that there are blacks in South Africa who talk like this, and this is not just some kind of figment of my imagination. I just want to show you very briefly a couple of images that relate to two black groups that openly speak about killing whites and who want to slaughter us, and they believe that we are responsible for their problems. But in reality, Jews and liberals opened the door to this black madness. So this image is black first, land first, a pan-Africanist, anti-racist group. That's a load of bollocks. You'll see all this talk about anti-racism. That's just a bunch of Jewish claptrap to hide the fact that these are black racists who want to kill whites. So anti-racist, that's just a big old Jewish mind fuck, to be honest with you. Black first, land first are radicals, but they don't have the money and the Jewish backing that Julius Malema has. But let's first look at them. Black first, land first, their leader at one point said that all whites should be killed, and they should even kill the children, they should even kill our cats and dogs. When you see the term pan-African, pan-African is really the same as white racist. If I said to you, I'm pan-European, or I'm only for white Europeans, which I am, I'm both of them, well, that is regarded as racist, right? Well, blacks have got pan-African views, and they've had it for decades. These are black racists who want blacks to stick together. But you won't hear Jews and liberals complaining about any of this. They just use this term, oh no, it's pan-African, and no, it's not racist, they're anti-racist. It's just a bunch of claptrap, okay? Go and look at how anti-racist is used, and you'll see it's a bunch of bullshit. And it's actually black racists who want to kill whites. That's what it really is. Go and look carefully at all these stupid terms that you're being fooled with by liberals and others, making excuses for these blacks. But anyway, we're going to look at BLF, Black First, Land First. So let's take a quick look at some social media posts by Black First, Land First. They say, white farmers are racist, cruel land thieves who don't deserve our sympathy. Then they say, it's a lie to say white farmers feed the nation. No, it's not a lie. It's an absolute fact. But anyway, they're just talking their crap. And then they say, farm workers are killed by farmers every day from Kulini to Mpumalanga, where we saw them put our brother in a coffin. I can tell you that's all bulldust. That is total propaganda. I actually know white people who were deeply and closely involved in both of those cases. And it's only those two cases anyway, and that is just hogwash. The Kulini story was about the black who was caught by two white farmers. He was caught in their fields stealing from their crops. They put him on the back of a pickup truck. They were taking him to the police. He jumped off the pickup truck when they were approaching a corner or a stop sign, and then afterwards the blacks tried to say, oh, he was murdered. The post-mortem showed that the black broke his neck, and he broke his neck from falling off a truck, and the post-mortem showed that there were no marks on that guy. He'd not been beaten up the way that the blacks said. Then the blacks created a huge stir, and the court had to find the white guys guilty, the two white guys guilty. Then the whole thing had to go to the High Court for appeal, and the white guys got off on the appeal because there the facts were looked at properly, and there's zero evidence that the Kulini guys killed that black guy. That black guy jumped off the truck. He was a thief. He died from his own stupidity. Had nothing to do with the whites. But blacks tried to create lots of things in Kulini and blame it on the whites. As for the Mpumalanga issue about the guy being put in a coffin, My own attorney was involved in that case, deeply involved in that case, and they fought that case out. They were just playing with the black and they scared him and they put him in a coffin. They didn't kill him. They just put him in a coffin. They didn't harm him in any way. I actually need to put that particular video out because that's a whole other topic by itself. That black had threatened to kill the farmers. That's something you don't hear about. It's a whole thing, much more complex than that. These are the only two cases that these blacks can cite. So when they say, oh, the whites are killing the farm workers from Kolini to Mpumalanga, bulldust. Here's another Twitter post from them. This is probably more true. It says, the farms are a dangerous and sad place for our people. Well, that's fine. If you don't like the farms, then leave the farms. You don't have to work on the farms. Go work somewhere else. Go do something else. Let the whites carry on and let the whites automate and do their own farm work. That's quite fine. I actually am very much in favor of that. And regarding that story, those two stories, fake stories about white farmers killing blacks, those blacks say absolutely nothing about the thousands of proven cases and proven instances of blacks who've murdered white farmers. Thousands of it. And we're not even talking about the tens of thousands of whites who've been murdered in the cities by blacks. None of that. So here's another one from Black First, Land First, where they say, we want the 26 billion stolen by whites. Well, that is up for debate, I must tell you. If it wasn't for the whites, you'd be living in huts, you'd be wearing animal skins. And you'd be starving to death every couple of years when there's a drought, just like has happened in the past. 26 billion rand is equal to about 1.5 billion US dollars. So I don't know how they arrive at that number and what are they going to do with it. I am totally familiar with everything that happened in Zimbabwe, where 5,000 white farmers were driven off the land, everything was lost. Everything was stolen. I know exactly how that went, and it did not help them. The whole economy imploded afterwards. I'll do videos about Zimbabwe. People have forgotten about Zimbabwe 20 years ago. So these blacks quietly forget all the other instances where blacks have seized the property of whites. They've forgotten about the times when the blacks in Mozambique stole all the white property, everything. They nationalized all the property, all the businesses. They stole 100% of the Portuguese economy. They have ignored what happened in Zimbabwe. They have ignored what happened in Angola. And here they are at it again, having learned nothing from history. The bottom line is, whites and blacks need to part company. Here is the black who I regard as the greatest threat to the whites. This guy is Julius Malema, and he might be the closest thing to the follow-up of Jews and Nelson Mandela. Like Mandela, he's a hardcore communist. You can see him here in Britain at the tomb of the Jewish communist Karl Marx, who was a huge, huge troublemaker and who wanted to become the dictator of Germany. So here you see a black communist, and notice the red that he's wearing. That's good old-fashioned Soviet Union, Jewish Bolshevik, Soviet Union type colors. And his organization, the EFF, wear those colors. They are basically yet another communist offshoot. There are many communist offshoots. Most of black politics, if not all of black politics in South Africa, is some kind of offshoot of the Communist Party or related to it. Probably the only ones who aren't like that are the Pan-Africanists, who are more racists than communists. And I'll show you that communism always has Jewish links. Malema's got lots of Jewish links. So Julius Malema's organization, the EFF, is Economic Freedom Fighters, which is just their cute name for their communist racist organization. But you will find that EFF is surrounded by Jews. All the whites around it, virtually every single white involved with the EFF is Jewish. And here, for example, is something that was leaked in 2013. This is an ABSA notice of payment. ABSA is a South African bank, big South African bank. And in December 2013, Mr. N. Kirsch paid some money to Malema. He actually gave him almost 9 million rand. And you can see down there, it says Economic Freedom Fighters. And the money went to another bank. It went from ABSA to another bank. Now, Mr. Kirsch is actually an ex-South African Jew who almost owns a small neighboring black African state. He's the richest man in that state. And he's supporting Julius Malema from that state. And this is one deposit that we know of that managed to make it into the public arena. So here you can see in this image a bunch of EFF people, and they're talking about seizing white land. So if you look at their placards, from the top left it says things like, white people own 72% of the land in South Africa. Wherever you see a beautiful piece of land, take it. Now, of course, taking, if you take someone else's property, that's not taking, that's stealing. And there are other placards. You cannot own what you stole. Give back the land. And I can't make out the rest of the posters. But you'll see that these blacks are out to seize the land of white people in South Africa, which people have paid for and in many cases bought, even directly under black rule. This is just like Zimbabwe, where whites bought property under black rule, and now suddenly the blacks say, no, you stole it, we want it back. That's just bullshit. But anyway, here you can see what the EFF is about. And the EFF is also out to kill white people. And over the years, I've had a good look at the EFF, and I can tell you, going back quite a few years, there are a number of incidents that happened in the past where the EFF seemed to me to be attempting to create race war, and where it seems EFF people even went and set farms on fire. And then there's the whole issue of Kulini in 2017, which I had a lot of knowledge of, and I went there, and I even have videos and photos from that time that I haven't even put out. But I can tell you, these blacks in this red and black uniform, these blacks are serious. And they've been trying to kill people, and they've been trying to cause big mayhem. Julius Malema also appears to be psychic. He knows the future. He has said, and it's been written up in newspapers, he's said that he will be a future president of South Africa. These are not the only dangerous blacks in South Africa, but I rate them as right up near the top. We whites in Southern Africa stated all along that the blacks in Africa who want to come to power are communists, and they have communist ideology. And these people do not believe in democracy, actually. That's a whole other discussion, but the truth of the matter is they don't believe in democracy except as a tool for themselves to come to power. It's just a tool for them to get into power. Once they're in power, they have no desire to ever give up that power. In my book, Government by Deception, I spoke about the concept of power forever, that blacks were converted to communism when the Russians told them, with this system, you can remain in power forever. But I'm going to show you that all these blacks, right up to modern time, right up to 2022, when I'm recording this, that these blacks, right up to today, are still talking communism. They know their communist heroes, and they quote from them. For example, the communist who took over China, Mao Zedong, though I see they now refer to him as Mao Zedong. But anyway, Mao Zedong said the following. He said, power, political power, grows out of the barrel of a gun. And lots of blacks have quoted this. And you're about to hear Julius Malema quoting Mao Zedong. These guys are communists, and they're violent, and they will use violence to gain control of the politics. And they'll use violence in any way that it suits them. And communism, or to quote the Germans in World War II, Jewish Bolshevism, is the most evil, hideous, killing political system that's ever been invented. In Russia, 60 million white Christians were killed. In China, 50 million Chinese were killed. And that doesn't even go into all the others who died in so many other countries. Now I'm going to show you an interesting piece of video footage. This is from October 2022. Here in South Africa. This piece of film footage should by itself result in Julius Malema actually being found guilty of inciting violence and inciting his people to kill white people. But Julius Malema has been at these things for a very long time, long time, and he's been inciting people to kill whites for a long time. He's openly said it many times in the past. He's been taken to court by whites over kill the Boer, kill the farmer, and he's won every court case. The whites have tried every legal challenge to Malema, and they're just not winning. But they carry on, and white organizations have taken him to court. White people in their individual capacities have laid charges against him. But to my knowledge, Julius Malema has never been punished. He's never even been fined. He's never spent a day in jail. And he gets away with all these things. But I also want to draw your attention to specific things that he says, which will show you his background and his links to communism and what he's actually saying, so that you can be very clear about what is going on here. And then you can watch the piece of video footage, which is about 3 minutes long, which is at an EFF conference where Malema is talking to his people. And by the way, watch the blacks. Watch their body language. Watch how happy they are. When he tells them to kill, when he tells them that they're going to fight and they're going to kill, and they're going to kill white people, look at how happy those blacks are. They are really, really happy. They really dream of the day when they get to kill white people. But let's just go through some of the words that he says in this little segment. So, for example, Malema says, you must never be scared to kill. Now, you know, how much more obvious can it be? Because in this piece, he talks a lot about killing. and that you must kill. So then he says the revolution, the communist revolution, demands at some point you must kill, because killing is part of a revolution. Now let me just stop there for a second, because he's about to talk about Nelson Mandela. But hold on a sec. The blacks had a revolution. That revolution is known as the struggle against apartheid. And the struggle against apartheid ended with America and Britain and the international community and Russia forcing South Africa to hand over South Africa to these blacks, to the current ruling party, which is the ANC. Malema himself was the leader of the ANC Youth League. So Malema was in the ANC. And Nelson Mandela created the armed wing of the ANC. And the ANC is the government of South Africa and has been for the last 28 years. So why is this black, Malema, talking about a revolution that is yet to come in 2022? The blacks have been in power for 28 years. What do these blacks need a revolution for now? They've had their revolution. They are in power. They have already killed. Why do they need to kill again? So, by his measurement, the revolution isn't over and the real revolution hasn't happened. Another related topic, which I'm not going to go into here, is that these blacks originally planned a two-stage revolution. And the first stage was to seize political power, and the second stage was to seize economic power. In other words, to steal everything from the whites. And that was known by our previous government, by the white government, back in the 1980s. And you can find it in a book called Talking with the ANC. I've already mentioned this before. Maybe I need to mention it again. But anyway, we know that the blacks had planned a two-stage revolution. It wasn't just they who planned it. It was a communist thing. The Russians were helping them all the way. So the commies planned a two-stage revolution. And stage two is when they seize all the property of the white people. They seize everything. They seize the land, the businesses, everything. And that's clearly what this Malema is talking about. That there's yet another revolution to come, and it's a revolution where whites will have to be killed. But was it really necessary? They're in power. They can make the law. They control the police. They control the army. They control the courts. Do they really need to come and try and kill the whites again? Well, apparently they do. Apparently their wet dream has not panned out, and they still need more stuff, just like they've done in other places, like Zimbabwe. So, Malema is making it clear that it's going to be a violent revolution, not a peaceful revolution, not a bloodless revolution, but a revolution that requires killing, killing of whites. Then Malema talks about Nelson Mandela. He says, why did Mandela take up a gun? And some of you may have seen my little video about Nelson Mandela and how close he was to the Jews. And here we've got Malema, who's surrounded by Jews. Anyway, Malema goes on to say that Mandela was the first soldier of Umkhonto we Sizwe, otherwise known as MK. And this is the, quotes, armed wing, basically the army of the ANC, the political party, the ANC. So Mandela was the first soldier of the ANC. For Americans, you can compare that to things like BLM or the Black Panthers of the 1960s. Same thing. So Malema goes on and says, Mandela took up a gun because the revolution, whoa, what the hell is that? He's talking about Mandela in a revolution. See, the time of Mandela, that was the revolution. But clearly, there's going to be a second revolution. Anyway, so he says, Mandela took up a gun because the revolution had reached a point where there was no alternative but to kill. So you can see all these references, kill, 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 coming from the mouth of Malema to his people. And look at them, and you'll see them clapping, and they're happy, happy, smiley faces. The idea of killing white people sounds freaking awesome for them. But then he says something interesting, which I think you should take special note of. He says to them, why are you scared? Anything that stands in the way of revolution must be eliminated. But it is interesting that he says to them, why are you scared? That just confirms what I've pointed out before. Keep in mind, the blacks also are afraid to die. And that's a very important point. Don't think that blacks are keen to die. So they fear that they might die in the revolution. But anyway, he tells them that they must move forward and that anything that stands in the way of the revolution must be eliminated. Then he says, the founding manifesto of the EFF says, we will take power by all means necessary. So there we go, right back to the barrel of a gun, that they will take power by any means. Doesn't that sound almost a bit like some of that crazy BLM stuff in America, where people were also talking about by any means? So people are willing to kill. And they want power by any means. So while he may be portraying himself sometimes as democratic, blah, 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 he is also telling his people here, you know, we'll get power by any means, through the barrel of a gun, by murder, by whatever. He's implying all those things. Then he goes on and he says, any racist who threatens or beats up the EFF. Now, if you listen to any term where these communists and blacks are talking about a racist, you will find that at the end of the day, a racist can only be a white person. Only white people can actually be racist. And there are Jews in America who've defined things that way. They have come out even in South Africa years ago with a bunch of all kinds of hodgepodge and mental gymnastics to indicate that, you know, somehow a black man can never be a racist, but only white people can really be racist. So he says, any racist who beats up on the EFF, which clearly indicates only a white person. And then he says, this is an application for you to meet your maker with immediate effect. So what the hell is he saying there? Is he saying that anyone who beats up, any white who beats up on the EFF will have to be killed? Meet your maker with immediate effect? Well, that appears to me to be exactly what he's saying, that any white who somehow challenges or beats up a person in the EFF, that this is an application for you to meet your maker with immediate effect. Sounds like a death threat to me. And then he goes on and says something weird. He says, there must be a follow-up on the racist. There must be one. And when he says there's got to be a follow-up on this racist, is he indicating some kind of stalking or threat to kill a white man? So there's some weird stuff that he's saying there, hey? And literally every sentence in there is about killing and killing of whites. So here is the 3-minute video piece. Watch it, and later we'll hear how this guy yet again gets away with threatening to kill whites, telling blacks to kill whites, and as usual, the courts let it off the hook. There's some mumbo jumbo, some bunch of mental gymnastics, garbage, claptrap, and how they managed to get away with this.
Tell that white man to try me. I'll come many times here in Western Cape appearing a court case because no white man is going to beat me up and call myself a revolutionary the following day. You must never be scared to kill. A revolution demands that at some point there must be killing because the killing is part of a revolutionary act. Why did Mandela take up a gun? He was the first soldier of Mkhonto we Sizwe. Why did he take up a gun? Was he taking a gun to distribute roses? He took up a gun because the revolution had reached a point where there is no longer an alternative but to kill. Why are you scared that anything that stands on the way of the revolution, it must be eliminated in the best interest of the revolution, and we must never be scared to do that. The founding manifesto of the EFF says we'll take power by all means necessary. And therefore, revolutionaries, when confronted by that situation, should never think twice. Cowards are not for the revolution. The EFF must be known that it is not a playground for racists. That any racist that plays next to the EFF and threatens and beat up the membership and the leadership of the EFF, that is an application to meet your maker with immediate effect. You were beaten by a racist and you never did anything. Let's hope this new leadership will make a follow-up on that racist, because there must be a follow-up on that racist. I'm not asking you to do what I've not done. When a racist confronted me at Winnie Mandela's funeral, I did what I was expected to do, because I was not scared of a white man. You get beaten by white people here and you call yourself an organization of Fanon. Racism is...
Here's another image from the social media. Here you see yet another member of the EFF. You can see on his cap it says EFF, black guy. The name he's using is Mampuru Mampuru. And look at his message on the social media. And again, this type of stuff, it would seem in South African law courts. I don't think anyone ever took this guy to court. So let's read what he writes. And he says, "We need to unite as black people. There are less than 5 million, wrong spelling, white in South Africa, versus 45 million of us. We can kill all this white within 2 weeks. We have the army and the police. If those who are killing farmers can do it, what are you waiting for? Shoot the Boer, kill the farmer." Again, how can you miss the message here? He's openly inciting all blacks to genocide. And he's even giving away some of the game here, because he says, if those who are killing farmers can do it, what are you waiting for? So, in other words, he is acknowledging that the killing of farmers is something deliberate that blacks are doing. He's implying that. He says, if those who are killing farmers, and of course we know we're talking only about white farmers, can do it. What are you waiting for? Shoot the Boer, kill the farmer. And he's talking openly about genocide. There are less than 5 million whites in South Africa versus 45 million of us. We can kill all the whites within 2 weeks. We can kill all the whites within 2 weeks. And then he even goes on to say things like, we have the army and the police. So he's saying, you know, we got everything. Let's go and kill these 5 million people. Let's get rid of these 5 million whites. It's only going to take us 2 weeks to do. So this should show you very, very clearly what they're talking about, what they're thinking. And how does he arrive at this date of 2 weeks? Have they been doing some math? What is it that they were looking at and talking about that makes him convinced they can kill us all within 2 weeks? Have these people been plotting to kill us? Because it sounds to me like this stuff isn't just a thumb suck. And he's making a bunch of valid statements there. By the way, regarding his mathematics and his assessment of killing all the whites in 2 weeks, I've actually been working on something very special regarding exactly that prediction of his. I've put a lot of work into it, and I hope to finish it in the next couple of weeks. I've done a lot of real mathematics and real history regarding that exact number. Actually, they are more than 45 million. They're at least 50 million. And the country's physical black population is more like 60 million. But there are millions from other parts of Africa. So yeah, can 50 million blacks, or more than 50 million blacks, kill 5 million whites in 2 weeks? Keep an eye open. We will discuss that as a interesting military topic. But this kind of stuff should show you that right here and now, in the 2020s, these blacks are talking about slaughtering and stealing and killing all the whites. Basically, they're talking about killing all the whites and stealing all our stuff. That's what they're talking about. And frankly, I can't see that there is any doubt as to what they are thinking, what they are wishing, what they are dreaming, what they would really like to do. That is what they want to do to us. And they want yet another black revolution.
So for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, thank the whites.